This is the reading for July 4th, Job chapter 35. Then Elihu said, "Do you think this is fair? You say, 'God will show that I am right.' But you also ask, 'What's the use? I don't gain anything by not sinning.' I will answer you and your friends who are with you. Look up at the sky and see the clouds so high above you. If you sin, it does nothing to God. Even if your sins are many, they do nothing to Him. If you are good, you give nothing to God. He receives nothing from your hand. Your evil ways only hurt a man like yourself, and the good you do only helps other human beings. People cry out when they are in trouble. They beg for relief from powerful people. But no one asks, 'Where is God my Maker, who gives us songs in the night, who makes us smarter than the animals of the earth and wiser than the birds of the air?' God does not answer evil people when they cry out, because the wicked are proud. God does not listen to their useless begging. The Almighty pays no attention to them. He will listen to you even less when you say that you do not see Him, that your case is before Him, that you must wait for Him, that His anger never punishes, and that He doesn't notice evil. So Job is only speaking nonsense, saying many words without knowing what is true." 1 Chronicles chapter 27. This is the list of the Israelites who served the king in the army. Each division was on duty 1 month each year. There were leaders of families, commanders of 100 men, commanders of 1,000 men, and other officers. Each division had 24,000 men. Jashobeam, son of Zabdiel, was in charge of the first division for the first month. There were 24,000 men in his division. Jashobeam, one of the descendants of Perez, was leader of all the army officers for the first month. Dodai from the Ahohites was in charge of the division for the second month. Mikloth was a leader in the division. There were 24,000 men in Dodai's division. The third commander for the third month was Benaiah, son of Jehoiada the priest. There were 24,000 men in his division. He was the Benaiah, who was one of the 30 soldiers. Benaiah was a brave warrior who led those men. Benaiah's son, Amizabad, was in charge of Benaiah's division. The fourth commander for the fourth month was Asahel, the brother of Joab. Later, Asahel's son, Zebadiah, took his place as commander. There were 24,000 men in his division. The fifth commander for the fifth month was Shamhuth from Izrah's family. There were 24,000 men in his division. The sixth commander for the sixth month was Ira, son of Achish, from the town of Tekoa. There were 24,000 men in his division. The seventh commander for the seventh month was Helez. He was from the Pelonites and a descendant of Ephraim. There were 24,000 men in his division. The eighth commander for the eighth month was Sibbekai. He was from Hushah and was from Zerah's family. There were 24,000 men in his division. The ninth commander for the ninth month was Abiezar. He was from Anathoth and Benjamin. There were 24,000 men in his division. The tenth commander for the tenth month was Maharai. He was from Netophah and was from Zerah's family. There were 24,000 men in his division. The 11th commander for the 11th month was Benaiah. He was from Pirathon and Ephraim. There were 24,000 men in his division. The 12th commander for the 12th month was Heldai. He was from Netophah and was from Othniel's family. There were 24,000 men in his division. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. Eleazar, son of Zichri, was over the tribe of Reuben. Shephatiah, son of Maacah, was over the tribe of Simeon. Hashabiah, son of Kemuel, was over the tribe of Levi. Zadok was over the people of Aaron. Elihu, one of David's brothers, was over the tribe of Judah. Omri, son of Michael, was over the tribe of Issachar. Ishmaiah, son of Obadiah, was over the tribe of Zebulun. Jeremoth, son of Azrael, was over the tribe of Naphtali. Hoshea, son of Azaziah, was over the tribe of Ephraim. Joel, son of Pedaiah, was over West Manasseh. Iddo, son of Zechariah, was over East Manasseh. Jaziel, son of Abner, was over the tribe of Benjamin. Azarel, son of Jeroram, was over the tribe of Dan. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. The Lord had promised to make the Israelites as many as the stars in the sky. So David only counted the men who were 20 years old and older. Joab, son of Jeruiah, began to count the people, but he did not finish. God became angry with Israel for counting the people, so the number of the people was not put in the history book about King David's rule. Azmaveth, son of Adiel, was in charge of the royal storehouses. Jonathan, son of Uzziel, was in charge of the storehouses in the country, towns, villages, and towers. Esri, son of Kelub, was in charge of the field workers who farmed the land. Shimei from the town of Ramah was in charge of the vineyards. Zabdi from Shepham was in charge of storing the wine that came from the vineyards. Baal Hanan from Gedor was in charge of the olive trees and sycamore trees in the western hills. Joash was in charge of storing the olive oil. Shitrei from Sharon was in charge of the herds that fed on the plain of Sharon. Shaphat, son of Adlai, was in charge of the herds in the valleys. Obil, an Ishmaelite, was in charge of the camels. Jediah from Moronoth was in charge of the donkeys. Jaziz from the Hagrites was in charge of the flocks. All these men were the officers who took care of King David's property. Jonathan was David's uncle, and he advised David. Jonathan was a wise man and a teacher of the law. Jehiel, son of Hechmoni, took care of the king's sons. Ahithophel advised the king. Hushai from the Archite people was the king's friend. Jehoiada and Abiathar later took Ahithophel's place in advising the king. Jehoiada was Benaiah's son. Joab was the commander of the king's army. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. David commanded all the leaders of Israel to come to Jerusalem. There were the leaders of the tribes, commanders of the divisions serving the king, commanders of 1,000 men and of 100 men, leaders who took care of the property and animals that belonged to the king and his sons, men over the palace, the powerful men, and all the brave warriors. King David stood up and said, "Listen to me, my relatives and my people. I wanted to build a place to keep the Ark of the Agreement with the Lord. I wanted it to be God's footstool, so I made plans to build a temple. But God said to me, 'You must not build a temple for worshiping me, because you are a soldier and have killed many people.' But the Lord, the God of Israel, chose me from my whole family to be king of Israel forever. He chose the tribe of Judah to lead, and from the people of Judah, he chose my father's family. From that family, God was pleased to make me king of Israel. The Lord has given me many sons, and from those sons, he has chosen Solomon to be the new king of Israel. Israel is the Lord's kingdom. The Lord said to me, 'Your son Solomon will build my temple and its courtyards. I have chosen Solomon to be my son, and I will be his father. He is obeying my laws and commands now. If he continues to obey them, I will make his kingdom strong forever.'" David said, "Now, in front of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of God, I tell you these things. Be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God. Then you will keep this good land and pass it on to your descendants forever. And you, my son Solomon, accept the God of your father. Serve him completely and willingly, because the Lord knows what is in everyone's mind. He understands everything you think. If you go to him for help, you will get an answer. But if you turn away from him, he will leave you forever. Solomon, you must understand this. The Lord has chosen you to build the temple as his holy place. Be strong and finish the job." Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for building the temple and the courtyard around the temple. They included its buildings, its storerooms, its upper rooms, its inside rooms, and the place where the people's sins were removed. David gave him plans for everything he had in mind: the courtyards around the Lord's temple and all the rooms around it, the temple treasuries and the treasuries of the holy items used in the temple. David gave Solomon directions for the groups of the priests and Levites. David told him about all the work of serving in the temple of the Lord and about the items to be used in the temple service that were made of gold or silver. David told Solomon how much gold or silver should be used to make each thing. David told him how much gold to use for each gold lampstand and its lamps, and how much silver to use for each silver lampstand and its lamps. The different lampstands were to be used where needed. David told how much gold should be used for each table that held the holy bread, and how much silver should be used for the silver tables. He told how much pure gold should be used to make the forks, bowls, and pitchers, and how much gold should be used to make each gold dish. He told how much silver should be used to make each silver dish, and how much pure gold should be used for the altar of incense. He also gave Solomon the plans for the chariot of the golden creatures that spread their wings over the ark of the agreement with the Lord. David said, "All these plans were written with the Lord guiding me. He helped me understand everything in the plans." David also said to his son Solomon, "Be strong and brave and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, because the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or leave you until all the work for the temple of the Lord is finished. The groups of the priests and Levites are ready for all the work on the temple of God. Every skilled worker is ready to help you with all the work. The leaders and all the people will obey every command you give."
Chapter 13.
Barnabas, Simeon, called the Black, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, a close friend of Herod since childhood, and Saul were prophets and teachers in the church in Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set Barnabas and Saul apart for me. I want them to do the work for which I called them." After fasting and praying, Simeon, Lucius, and Manaen placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul and released them from their work in Antioch. After Barnabas and Saul were sent by the Holy Spirit, they went to the city of Seleucia, and from there sailed to the island of Cyprus. Arriving in the city of Salamis, they began to spread God's word in the synagogues. John Mark had gone along to help them. They went through the whole island as far as the city of Paphos. In Paphos, they met a Jewish man named Bar-Jesus. He was an astrologer who claimed to be a prophet. He was associated with an intelligent man, Sergius Paulus, who was the governor of the island. The governor sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. Elymas, whose name means astrologer, opposed them and tried to distort the meaning of the faith so that the governor wouldn't believe. But Saul, also known as Paul, was filled with the Holy Spirit. He stared at Elymas and said, "You are full of dirty tricks and schemes, you son of the devil. You hate everything that has God's approval. Quit trying to distort the truth about the way the Lord wants people to live. The Lord is against you now. For a while you will be blind, unable to see the light of day." Suddenly, Elymas couldn't see a thing. He tried to find people to lead him. When the governor saw what had happened, he believed. The Lord's teachings amazed him. Paul and his men took a ship from Paphos and arrived in Perga, a city in Pamphylia. John Mark deserted them there and went back to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas left Perga and arrived in Antioch, a city near Pisidia. On the day of worship, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After reading from Moses' teachings and the prophets, the synagogue leaders sent a message to Paul and Barnabas. The message said, "Brothers, if you have any words of encouragement for the people, feel free to speak." Then Paul stood up, motioned with his hand, and said, "Men of Israel and converts to Judaism, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors and made them a strong nation while they lived as foreigners in Egypt. He used his powerful arm to bring them out of Egypt, and he put up with them for about 40 years in the desert. Then he destroyed seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as an inheritance. He did all this in about 450 years. After that, he gave his people judges until the time of the prophet Samuel. Then the people demanded a king, so God gave them Saul, son of Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin. After 40 years, God removed Saul and made David their king. God spoke favorably about David. He said, 'I have found that David, son of Jesse, is a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" God had the Savior Jesus come to Israel from David's descendants, as he had promised. Before Jesus began his ministry, John the Baptizer told everyone in Israel about the baptism of repentance. When John was finishing his work, he said, "Who do you think I am? I'm not the person you're looking for. He will come later. I'm not even good enough to untie his sandals." Brothers, descendants of Abraham and converts to Judaism, the message that God saves people was sent to us. The people who live in Jerusalem and their rulers didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't understand the prophets' messages, which are read every day of worship. So they condemned Jesus and fulfilled what the prophets had said. Although they couldn't find any good reason to kill him, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had finished doing everything that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and placed him in a tomb. But God brought him back to life, and for many days he appeared to those who had come with him to Jerusalem from Galilee. These people are now witnesses and are testifying to the Jewish people about him. We are telling you the good news. What God promised our ancestors has happened. God has fulfilled the promise for us, their descendants, by bringing Jesus back to life. This is what Scripture says in the second Psalm. "You are my son. Today I have become your father." God stated that he brought Jesus back to life and that Jesus' body never decayed. He said, "I will give you the enduring love promised to David." Another psalm says, "You will not allow your Holy One to decay." After doing God's will by serving the people of his time, David died. He was laid to rest with his ancestors, but his body decayed. However, the man God brought back to life had a body that didn't decay. So, brothers, I'm telling you that through Jesus, your sins can be forgiven. Sins kept you from receiving God's approval through Moses' teachings. However, everyone who believes in Jesus receives God's approval. Be careful, or what the prophets said may happen to you. "Look, you mockers, be amazed and die. I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if it were reported to you." As Paul and Barnabas were leaving the synagogue, the people invited them to speak on the same subject the next day of worship. When the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas talked with them and were persuading them to continue trusting God's good will. On the next day of worship, almost the whole city gathered to hear the Lord's word. When the Jews saw the crowds, they became very jealous. They used insulting language to contradict whatever Paul said. Paul and Barnabas told them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject the word and consider yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we are now going to turn to people of other nations. The Lord gave us the following order. I have made you a light for the nations so that you would save people all over the world." The people who were not Jews were pleased with what they heard and praised the Lord's word. Everyone who had been prepared for everlasting life believed. The word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region, but Jews stirred up devout women of high social standing and the officials of the city. These people started to persecute Paul and Barnabas and threw them out of their territory. In protest against these people, Paul and Barnabas shook the dust off their feet and went to the city of Iconium. Meanwhile, the disciples in Antioch continued to be full of joy and the Holy Spirit.